Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. Merry Christmas. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.
Feels good to be a winner.
Feels good. During the Christmas season. Feels
especially good to be a winner in Christmas.
Yes. It's like the winning the Super Bowl.
Speaking of which, I totally won my fantasy football league at work.
Oh, yeah. But not the Council of Man.
No, not the Council of Man. That was bad. It was not a pretty picture.
I am going into the championship this week.
Best of luck to you, my friend. Deus Vult.
I think I'm going to need it because a lot of my players got hurt this week.
You know what?
It looked based on my projections, it's not going to be good.
This is a crazy week for fantasy football, too, because
a lot of the people don't play. A lot of the players don't play.
A lot of the stars will sit the bench.
Right. So
you got to be careful.
Yeah. So anyway, just another perk for joining the Council of Man. You get to beat us in fantasy football.
At least you got to beat me this year. I didn't do so well. I was like in the beginning, like holding my own, and then it just didn't happen.
The wheels fell off, huh?
Yep. We had one, but the wheels fell off.
Yeah. So, well, welcome to the Catholic Man Show. If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show,
Merry Christmas.
We have our ceremonial candle lit.
Yes.
The Aji
candle.
Why don't you let them know what the three things we do?
The three things that we do every episode.
I'd like you to do it ceremoniously.
The three things.
I didn't say chant it.
It's just, I didn't know what to do to make it ceremonious.
All right, go ahead.
I thought it sounded pretty good, though. The three things that we do every episode. First, open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. Second, highlight a man gear of some kind. Third, have a manly discussion on a manly topic. Today, we're talking about kingship, which I think is sweet. What does it mean? This is something I've always wondered. What the heck does that mean? Like, we all have heard we're baptized as priest, prophet, and king. Mm-hmm. It's like, what am I the king of?
Right. We're going to talk about it.
You know, there's a song from the 70s called I'm the King of Nothing. I've always felt like maybe that was me, because I just, like, I don't know.
It's not true, though.
I'm a landowner. Does that count? Yeah, I've got a very small, I've got some grass.
I have a little plot.
Right. So we're going to talk about that.
That'll be cool. I'm pumped.
Yeah, but tell me about the man drink, because this is like a gallon of beer or something. It's not a gallon.
Well, no.
I'm using the literary device called hyperbole.
Yes.
But it's a big bottle.
That was very hyperbolic language of you.
Yes, intentionally so. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For recognizing it.
You're very welcome. This is a Magnum bottle.
See? It's big.
And that's not hyperbole. That is what you call it.
That's what it is.
It is a Magnum bottle.
Does it say how much?
Is
it 2 liters? You think it's two? No, maybe 1.5 liters?
What does it say right there?
It doesn't say anything.
This show is sponsored by Mr. Andrew DeJoseph. He sent this to us as a Christmas gift, which we are grateful for. Andrew was also one of our first active listeners, I would imagine, that was outside of Oklahoma. So, Andrew, we cheers to you and thank you and pray.
Why don't you give him a toast?
Okay, well, let's do our cheers.
It's 50.7 fluid ounces.
50.7.
Google it.
Okay. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
And may your family remember that the fun of Christmas lies within the seriousness of Christmas.
Okay. I'm breaking that down in my head right now.
The fun of Christmas.
The fun of Christmas.
Lies in the seriousness of Christmas.
Would you say maybe the delight of Christmas?
Or maybe joy would have been a better word. Mm-hmm.
Fun is...
Well, it's
feel like it's anticlimactic. It's just like...
Well, it's just maybe that's for not the what English you were word.
Really, yeah, you it's could have had a more poetic word.
Yeah. Well, I'm not the guy who gives toasts.
But it's a skill. Every man should develop the skill.
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree.
I'm just trying... I'm giving you the opportunity to practice.
I swung.
Yeah, and yeah, that's the important thing. You gave it a shot.
So... And I would say it's at least a C plus, yeah. Maybe a B minus.
I've had some pretty bombs. Pretty heavy bombs. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like,
let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's no joke. Bad.
So, thank you, Andrew DeJoseph. The beer we're having, we didn't even say, is the 2017 Christmas series of Anchor Brewing. Every year, this is their 43rd annual beer that they put out once a year. From early November to mid-January. So if you're listening right now, if you're listening this week, you can still get a chance to get it. But after mid-January, they stop production of it. And you can't get the next one until mid-November next year.
So it's an ale?
It is. It's an
ale. What kind of ale?
You know what? It's a dark ale.
It's super dark.
It's a dark
ale. I mean, it looks like a stout in my glass.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't say.
It even is foamy like a stout. You know,
it doesn't
really,
say on the
really
bottle.
Tiny bubbles. It's got the tiny bubbles.
Anchor Brewing is from San Francisco.
Just says Christmas ale, right?
Yes, it's just a Christmas.
Doesn't taste
actually,
like.
It doesn't even say ale on here, so I'm just assuming that it's an ale.
Oh. Well, it doesn't taste like.
Well, it does say our special ale. I'm sorry. Yes,
doesn't
it does.
Taste like a porter.
No, or a stout. It's an ale. I mean, it says our special
it's
ale.
Just a very,
there.
Very dark ale. I'm drinking it out of the Man Show beer mug, and it's. Interesting, as I drink and the liquid level reduces down the glass,
mm-hmm.
The Man Show logo becomes visible. It's just so dark, you can't even see the Man Show logo until you
it's an interesting
drink
beer.
It down.
What are your thoughts on it?
I think it's very good. It's an easy drinking beer, ale of some kind. It's definitely got like a darker roast flavor.
It almost has a little pininess to it.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I'll have to search for that.
A little spice, some spices mm-hmm. and a little pininess.
I get a roasty flavor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Which makes sense if that is indeed in the beer. Christmas seems like a good time for a roasted barley beer. So other than that, we know nothing about this beer. I was very excited about it. I think you were too, because it's a Christmas ale. And then we started reading on the bottle. And they started talking about like, oh, it's dedicated to new life and the circle cycle.
Yeah, they symbolized the winter solstice.
And it's like, what is this, pagan Christmas? That ain't no Christmas beer.
But it does say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year
on it. Does say Merry Christmas on the bottle.
So, and each year, I guess they change the Christmas tree.
Winter solstice. And it's talking about trees are a symbol of new life. What about Jesus?
Did you think about Jesus during Christmas?
Come on.
Yeah.
Anywho.
It's, you know, Jesus, he's the reason for the season.
The reason. The reason.
People say that, and then the next thing they said, the Catholics this year said, oh, I got to go to two masses this Sunday. And then they followed up, but he is the reason for the season.
Yeah.
Which is like, come on, don't do that.
I do not remember this. I just cannot, I guess it happens every 7 years. Where you got to do the double mass thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't remember that happening. I guess I was a heathen the last time it happened.
You missed the last go around, huh?
Right, I could have.
So, I also want to give a shout out to Michael Halbrook's sons. Because, did you read that post that he posted on the Council of
yes,
Man page?
Yes.
And I kind of forget sometimes, you know, we have kind of our ideal target audience that we think that we're talking to, and we kind of forget sometimes, or at least I do, that there's also other people listening,
uh-huh.
you know, that aren't our age.
Right.
Like, their sons
uh-huh.
listen to the Catholic Man Show with them.
Yeah, like, you know what, I get the impression they're like 10 and 7
yeah,
10, or, you
I think,
know.
I think one of them.
Ish, give
Matthew
or take.
Matthew James, I believe, is one of his names.
Strong
one
name. Strong name.
One of the names. I think he's 10.
I would like to do an episode on names one time.
That'd be cool. But I don't know how much we could talk about it.
I have at least two things to say. I don't know how long those things would take. I have two things.
But shout out to them, and shout out to James Finster's girls, and well, his son's Jude is a little too young to probably listen, but Vivian and Riley are Jim Finster's kids, and they listen to the Catholic Man Show as well.
Merry Christmas
to all of you guys. Stay on the nice list.
We got to give a shout out to Kent Keithley.
Oh, I'm so glad you said I forgot about my man Keith.
I got you. I'll back you up.
Okay.
So he gave us a growler of beer at the live episode we did at the Beef Jerky Outlet. And unfortunately, we were hoping to feature it on the show, but unfortunately, we were unable to do so within a reasonable time frame, and given that it was in a growler, had to be consumed.
Well, the real reason is I didn't exercise very good prudence.
Yeah, so I told Kent, I was like, all right, yeah, we'll try to drink this on the show. And then we got home, and I walked into your kitchen, and you had it open, and were pouring it. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, I didn't realize you had told him that. Yeah, that's true. There was kind of a miscommunication.
I didn't.
And I was very excited about trying it.
And the date on it.
Yeah, it was getting close, so I didn't want it to be flat.
Kent, thank you. It was delicious.
He also told us something about a world record of transferring beer.
Yes. So he brought us his beer from Kansas.
Right.
Which apparently, according to Guinness, may have been a world record for the longest beer delivery.
Yes.
I was kind of surprised.
But I'm not, being that the Catholic Man Show would be the one to do it.
So we could hold a world record, folks.
So big deal, big deal. When we get back, we'll jump into the man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers, Andrew.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles.
In our annoying radio voices.
Welcome. Sitting here with Adam Minahan. This is the Catholic Man Show. If you have somehow arrived at this point in the podcast and have no idea what's going on right now, be warned. We are dealing with high levels of manliness. If you are susceptible to high levels of manliness, please be warned. This show will be harmful to your health. We're going to start talking about the man gear. Which the man gear today is the dad chair, or the dude chair if you're not a dad.
The man chair.
Everybody, a man needs a chair. Speaking of chairs, I got for Christmas the camping rocking chair. That
you did?
I got one.
Nice.
And you know where it is? It's in my living room.
I was going to say your back porch, but...
No.
Living room.
It's too cold to go outside.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, like, just to sit.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about pulling it up to the table, but anyway, because you could, and it would be nice.
It'd be awesome.
It'd be an experience.
Yes.
So anyway, I got one of those chairs. Very excited. Thanks, honey. I love you. But
she listens to the show.
She does. She has to. Because she married me.
And she's worried you're going to say something about her. That's really the reason.
I'm pretty nice to her on the show. I'm nice to her.
You're nice to her. Yeah. Way to go, Pam.
I mean, I bless her with these good looks every day, if you can even believe it.
Just keeps giving.
Mm-hmm. I work out.
And stuff.
Okay, so back to the man chair.
Okay.
I think every guy needs a chair. Like, a domain. You need a throne for your castle. You know what I'm saying?
And not the toilet.
And I know, right, I know. I was joking with Pamela earlier, like, today's man gear is a throne. And yes, I mean a toilet. If you're looking for a new toilet, which one do I have? Yeah.
I just have American Standard, I think is what it's called.
I'll think of it later. Anyway, it's the one that can flush 20 golf balls down in one flush.
That's impressive.
It is awesome.
That is very impressive.
Nothing stops this toilet. I'm just telling. Message me later if you really want to know about the toilet. Okay. So I have, my chair is not, I think a lot of guys, when you think about the chair, it's maybe a recliner.
When you first saw me, I thought a lazy
leather,
boy.
A leather recliner, yeah.
Which Can we just talk about the name Lazy Boy really fast?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because to me, I just have this idea like this is part of the culture slipping into the whole, you know how the industry has branded the dad to be this dumb, fun, easygoing,
beer drinking, watching football dad. Like what?
Yeah, like I have no idea what's going on. I'm too stupid to know what's.
Go ask your mom.
Right. I have this feeling without looking it up that I don't know why the Lazy Boy, like why they picked that name, but to me, I don't like it. Like I don't like the name Lazy Boy because it implies that if I sit down in this, I'm lazy.
Maybe it makes you want to be lazy because it's so comfortable.
But you know what? If you are lazy, you are a boy. You're not a man.
True.
At least they're logically consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think you're maybe going too far.
I probably am.
It's just a good... I mean, it's a catchy name.
I think okay. I probably am.
But it has nothing to do with the chair.
Okay.
Okay. So my chair, I don't have... I have a leather recliner, but it's upstairs in the nursery.
Mm-hmm.
But my chair, my like spot is at the table.
Right.
That's where my dad chair is. In fact, Elizabeth will say all the time, like, oh, well, I'll come home from work and she'll be having like their afternoon snack and she'll be sitting in my chair. And she'll be like, Dad, I'm sitting in your chair. You know, it's like a big deal that she's sitting in dad's chair.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think this is important. If you have a family, especially, I think it's important regardless. Your friend's over, don't sit in that chair. That's my chair. This is my house, my chair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, there's etiquette about this.
You need to
this.
Be generous, obviously, with your chair. But I think you don't just go sit in another man's chair. If it's known this is the dude chair, you got to ask. Say, hey, can I sit in your chair?
Well, I think that the idea of the...
It's dude code. I think it's code.
Well, being the head of the house, like this etiquette has kind of like dwindled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, similar to like you don't wear a hat at the table when you eat.
Right.
That's something that just no one obeys by that etiquette anymore.
Nobody cares.
Right.
It's not, I don't even really think it's rude. If someone sat down at the table with a hat on, like I'm not offended. I don't even know why, I don't even know why that's a thing.
Well, it's just etiquette.
I know it's like to be polite, you take your hat off, but right. I don't know why taking your hat off is polite. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm not positive
either.
I'll have to Google it. But my grandmother instilled that in us.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and also that, you know, the head of the table, that's where Pawpaw sits. You know, that's where the man of the house sits.
I suspect that the hat is sort of like, men used to always put their hat on to go outside.
Right.
And so it'd be sort of like wearing your coat at the table. Like, hey, why don't you stay a while?
Yeah. Right. That's probably a good guess.
Anyway.
I think that etiquette of the man sitting at the head, similar to the man is supposed to be, the head of the house is supposed to say the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to a lot of dinner parties where the head of the house, the man of the house, like passes off that responsibility to somebody else, which I guess he has that right to do if he wanted to.
So I think there could be good reason for that. Like if it's an honored guest, if there's a priest in the house,
That's a different talk. Yeah. I'm just talking about like just another person, like, you know, just... I feel like that's another thing.
It's your job to say the prayer. Yeah.
Right. You're the head of the house.
Yeah.
Be the man.
So with the chair, so watch A Christmas Story, the movie A Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
This a generation and a half ago, this used to be common where the dad would sit down at the table, and often, I'm not saying promoting this or whatever, but the mom would serve the dad his food. Regardless of whether you think that's misogynistic or what, one thing that it did was instill in the children respect for fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mom, they see mom serving dad. They should see dad serving mom as well in other ways.
Naturally.
But I think that could be good if it's done right, you know, like if the dad is obviously appreciative and...
Well, it's just a visible way because the women serve the husbands in all sorts of capacities.
In different ways than men serve women.
Right. So, I mean, there's ways that happens, but it's not visible a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a public matter. Like, she cleans the house, you know, or whatever it is, laundry, whatever it is.
Yeah.
She's doing that for the love of the husband.
Sure. Or maybe she's the one who goes to work.
Or maybe she's the one that goes to work, yeah, if there's a stay-at-home dad.
Sure.
Whatever that is, sometimes it's not visible.
Mm-hmm.
This is just an outwardly visible action taking place.
Which is really what I think the chair is. This is exactly the reason why I wanted the chair to be the man gear, because it's a symbol of your authority as the man of the house. Mm-hmm. I mean, and really think about I think it's a very powerful symbol throughout history. The king sits on his throne. You know, the head of the priest. Yeah, exactly. Pope sits on the priest has a chair.
Escathedra.
Yeah.
The chair of
the cathedra.
Peter.
Yeah. The Pope sits on, or the bishop.
Well, is it the chair of Moses from the Jews? I believe that's the case.
Uh huh. The seat of Moses.
Seat of Moses. I knew I didn't say that right. I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I
Same
didn't.
Thing. Yeah. Same thing. So anyway, I just encourage you, if you don't have a chair, to maybe establish one.
And I don't want, I have one at the table, but if I was picking a different chair, I wouldn't want it to be in the media room. You know, I would want it to be somewhere more visible and not...
It should be in a family room.
Yes.
Right. Or maybe by the fire.
Maybe it's part
by the fire would be a good place.
That would be a really good place. By the way, I need some firewood. Can you bring some of your firewood over?
Dude, I don't hardly have any. You've got a truck.
I'm out.
I told you about that place for free firewood. Well, let's go get some. We'll go get some.
Okay. I just need to get some.
After we're done here, we'll go get some.
Okay. Thank you. You guys heard it.
I hope they're open.
Anyway, I do agree though, Dave. I think that every guy needs to have a chair, and their children, their wives and children will know, wife and children, not wives. Their wife and children will know, nope, that's dad's chair.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what you said. Yeah. I mean, we sit, kids thrive on routine. You know, and discipline of this is what we do.
Discipline.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I'm out of the habit. This is like we're recording a little later in the week.
It's all right. No big deal.
But they thrive on this, and to have the same spot every night for dinner, eating together, have the same spot for prayer time. Like this is where I sit.
Right. Yeah. The routine.
The routine. It helps children understand this is what takes place. Yeah. This is, and why this is taking place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the routine helps them know their place.
Mm-hmm.
Helps them know where they're
and what we're doing,
what their role is. Right. And it's a teaching. It's a tradition. And so is the dad chair is a tradition. And so I just think it helps establish.
I agree with you. I had
a stronger
beer
place
in my mouth, so
of authority. And to me, I mean, like I just have my place at the table. It's the head of the table. It definitely is a thing because my 2-year-old, you know, she knows. Makes a big deal. Like I'm sitting in your chair.
Right.
Like it's, she already knows I have like, this is, I'm
a special moment.
I'm moving up in like,
right.
This temporary time.
Well, even like
I'm elevating myself.
Like we have a big family and we have every holidays, we have a kids table and an adult table.
Yeah.
You know, and that moment where you graduate from the kids table and go to the adult table.
Big deal.
Big deal. Sometimes it's not like once you get to the adult table, you realize.
Send me back.
Yes, give me back over to the kids table.
Not that fun.
Yeah, not as fun as what I thought. But
it's not about honoring you, okay? This is something that I think people are afraid to, I don't want to honor myself, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't. But what you do want to do is make sure you honor fatherhood in the mind of your children, because if they don't respect fatherhood, they won't respect God the Father.
Good point.
So, I mean, this is what it's all about, is about instilling respect for God the Father. And they have to respect you first.
Great point. Good job, Dave.
All right. Well, when we get back, we're going to dive into the main topic, which is, what does it mean that we are baptized as priest, prophet, and king? How are we a king? We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Let's go get some firewood real quick. Challenge all you men to live out the 12 days of Christmas. Christmas is not over, so Merry Christmas and welcome back.
And if you're really strong, you can do all 40.
All the way to...
The old calendar is 40. 40 days of Christmas.
Okay. Does that go all the way to like, what is that?
I don't know.
13th of February or something?
I don't know. All I know is that if you say Merry Christmas to someone in February, they're going to look at you like you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We're drinking Anchor Brewing, the Merry Christmas Edition 2017, brought to you by...
It is delicious.
brought to you by Andrew of Joseph.
I called it Pagan Christmas, but that's what it is. It's delicious Pagan Christmas.
Well, Andrew of Joseph gave it to us.
Well, he has fine taste.
Councilman member, we just got done talking about
the chair.
The chair,
yeah.
The manly throne.
Wonder if someday we will have a toilet be the man gear.
We should get a poll going.
Yeah.
Because I don't, well.
I don't want
to. I feel like I don't want to talk
we'll
about
cross
one.
Cross that bridge when we come to it.
Be full of crap. Anyway, I had to make.
That's just the kind of high quality content you get here on the Catholic Man Show, folks.
Your wife will love that joke.
She will.
She likes poop jokes.
That she does. It's strange for a woman as pious and innocent as she is. She likes poop jokes.
So, the topic.
Everybody poops. That's what she says.
That's true.
Everybody poops.
I really want to get to the topic now.
When we did an episode on duty, she was cracking up the whole time. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So, the topic. I want to talk about what does it mean that we're baptized? You know, at our baptism, we're baptized priest, prophet, and king. Okay. Mm-hmm. The priest, the prophet.
Got it.
I kind of get those.
Right.
We're priests. A priest is someone who offers sacrifice.
Right.
We are called to offer sacrifice and to join our sacrifices.
Well, blessings and sacrifice.
Yes, to the cross. Okay. Prophet. Prophet is someone who speaks that which is true.
Mm-hmm.
We are called to speak the truth.
Right.
Okay.
Well, yeah. And to know the truth in order to speak the truth.
Right. So, king. Well, it's like.
It's clear that.
I thought Jesus was king.
Right.
How am I? It's like, can we all be king? Isn't that like having too many cooks in the kitchen or something?
Too many kings in the kingdom?
Yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
Okay. So anyway, let's talk about Christ for a second.
That's a great thing to talk about. Let's do it.
I agree. Here on the Catholic Man Show, popular topic.
Yes.
Christ, the word Christ, comes from the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed.
Correct.
Okay. So in the Old Testament, people would be anointed when they were given a special gift, a special mission from God. So, the most common thing is when they were chosen king. So, King David, most popular king.
The Davidic kingdom.
In the Bible, right. Samuel goes to him and anoints him with a horn of oil when he's just a kid. You know, like, you go to see all his brothers and like, no. And they're like, do you have any more sons?
They're anyway, like, pass. Where's right. David?
You know the story. Like, oh, well, there's one more.
Right. Go check him out. He's in the field.
They... like dump oil all over his head.
Right.
And now he is anointed. Well, at your baptism, they actually do the same thing to you. They dump oil all over your head.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are actually anointed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's... I think we need to
make that link real fast.
Okay, we're going to back up.
Do it.
Because in order to be priest, prophet, and king, you have to be what?
Alive.
And? Baptized. Okay, so... in order to be priest, prophet, and king, it's a baptismal priest, prophet, and king. So you have to be baptized in order... we're talking about the right. Baptized. Well,
that, yeah, so that's what I said. I meant when I said you're baptized priest, prophet, and king.
Okay.
Right, so at your baptism...
yeah.
But yes, for clarity, you receive these at your baptism.
Correct.
I think that humanity participates in these things in some way on a natural level. But not at a supernatural level.
Natural virtues, supernatural virtues.
Right, exactly. Just like men are head of the house, regardless of whether you're baptized or not.
Right.
Just the way it's the flow of authority. Okay, so anyway. One thing. Yes, so at our baptism. So kings in the Old Testament, they were warriors.
Yes. They're not...
they weren't rulers... I mean, I think in our mind, you know, oh, the kings after, you know, in like the modern era, you know, the last 500,000 years.
What we think of monarchy today, I guess.
Yes. Like, I can't picture Queen Elizabeth II going into battle.
Well, she wouldn't regardless.
I think she'd, I'm going to tell you, I think she'd be terrible at it.
I agree.
I don't think she could fight much of anybody.
No.
She could prove me wrong. She could have some spunk, but...
I don't think King Philip would be able to either.
What I'm trying to say is that kings back in the day were the leaders of war.
They were like, weren't they on the front line?
Yes, exactly. They would lead the... They led, they were the first one into, so it's like...
They would lead them into battle.
So they were like the crazy, they're like the crazy guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's the guy in the group who's like, don't mess with him. He's crazy.
Right. He's about to kill some dudes. Right,
like, he'll mess you up.
Yeah, like Samson, dude. Guy killed a bunch of people with...
with a donkey jaw.
Yeah. Like, that dude is the crazy guy.
I am waiting for someone to make a movie about this. Like, talk about an action scene.
Yes.
Like, there's that one scene where Samson kills 1,000 people something.
It's a jaw.
It's a ridiculous number of...
Was that a hyperbolic?
I don't know. It could be 1,000. I just don't even remember how it is. How many it is. It's a lot. Anyway.
I'd be so tired.
So King David... You know,
killing so many people, I'd be so tired.
Yeah, dude, it would. Like, and the swords were heavy.
Yeah, it would wear you out.
Like, anyway.
I'd be tired.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So back up with David. Okay. Saul.
Yes.
He's sending David. David was just like the best warrior under Saul, kind of. Well, I mean, he defeated Goliath.
Yeah. That's true.
And so David was actually anointed by Samuel, king. Saul was still alive. David was respectful of the authority of Saul,
mm-hmm.
and didn't, you know, like kind of defended him even when Saul was trying to kill him.
Right.
Not what we're talking about today.
Okay.
But anyway, the point is the kings went into battle.
Mm-hmm.
They were warriors and they weren't the rulers. They weren't just like in their high castle saying, oh, do this.
I'm the king of the castle.
King in the castle.
King of the castle.
That's not what they were.
Right.
And so, in fact, in the Bible, this verse is in there twice. 2 Samuel 11.
Okay.
1 Chronicles chapter 20.
Okay.
Verse 1 of both chapters.
Interesting.
Yes. Talks about, it was in the springtime, the time of the year when kings go out to battle. It's like there is a season for war.
Hmm.
Gone are the old ways.
I know.
Okay, so I guess this is like, yep. All right, well, you know, it's summer, and I've got a vacation home that I really want to get to, so we'll call this off next year. We'll meet right back here next year. So, but in this case, mm-hmm. it says David stayed back in the palace.
Okay.
You know what happens?
No.
Bathsheba.
Hmm.
Okay, so just want to point this out. When the king is not doing his duty, everything goes wrong.
Temptation arises.
Right, okay. Idle hands.
Yeah, don't you think, the devil realizes, this is an opportunity.
Because he had a dude, he was the king.
Yeah.
And he sent the army off to battle, and he stayed behind.
Well, and how many times as guys do we, like, oh, we're supposed to be working right now, we're supposed to be doing this, we're supposed to be doing that, and that's when temptation falls into place.
Right.
I mean, some of the times that I've fallen into sin have been because I'm supposed to be doing one thing, and I get caught doing another thing.
Right, when you're needed the most.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's David.
Ugh, that's so true.
Right. So he should have been off at battle. Mm-hmm. Instead, he stayed behind and was just like, I think I'll go up on the roof.
Yeah.
Just check it out.
Catch some fresh air.
Right. Meanwhile, people are off dying. He should be there. He's the leader of the army.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to make that point because I think it really relays back to us. So how are we a king? Well, Jesus kind of talks about it a little bit. He doesn't use the word king, but he says something like, He who would be first should be last, or who would be the greatest should make himself the servant of.
Well, he said.
I forget exactly, but you know what I'm talking. You know what I'm talking.
Well,
about.
He says
it to the apostles.
He said himself, like I've come to not to be served, but to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the king.
Right, he is the king.
Right. So, and that was I believe that's right after. The apostles realize, oh, he's the one that we've been waiting for. He's the Jewish Messiah that has been proclaimed all through the scriptures. And then he says, that's when he says, I've come to not to be served, but to serve. I believe. That's...
Okay.
I haven't read.
So this is a...
I hope that's correct.
I want to read this.
I believe that is.
John Paul II.
That's a great one to source. Let's... All right, JP2, circle around and say a bunch of stuff.
He says, the sharing in Christ's kingly mission, that is to say, the fact of rediscovering in oneself and others the special dignity of our vocation that can be described as kingship, this dignity is expressed in readiness to serve, in keeping with the example of Christ, who came not to serve, but to serve, just as you said. If, in light of this attitude of Christ's, being a king is truly possible only by being a servant, then being a servant also demands so much spiritual maturity that it must rely, that it must really be described as being a king.
So I think that that's, I mean, in history, you see that all the kings that were, you know, good, reputable kings were the ones who served and thought about the lowliest of the low, who thought about all of their people in the kingdom, right. And were the tyrants and the ridiculous people who took in all that they could and just absorbed their status.
Right, exactly.
Okay, good. Let's pick this up. I'm going to set it down real quick. You pick it up on the other side.
I'm up for it.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We are in studio today. If you're wondering, the studio is Adam's study / studio. We call it the studio.
Two studs.
Also, yeah, Adam's giving me some hand gestures. Couldn't quite figure it out. I thought he was shooting me the peace sign. He was trying to say that also, we are two studs. Which is why it's a studio. Someone else suggested that to us. It was immediately apparent that this was a both and kind of Catholic situation. Anyway, we're talking about kingship and what does it mean
to be a king
as men that we are baptized as king. Women also
right.
are baptized as king. When I say men, I just meant the race of men. I think men, males, this is just one of those things that they more directly, it's like a more obvious sign in the male gender. Just like as the race of men, we're also the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sign more obvious in the female gender. But as men, we are also the bride.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think, harder for us as men to make that sign. I think it's kind of the inverse with the kingship. How are we kings? Well, I think that's more prevalent, more obvious in the male.
I gotcha.
So,
I'm seeing those connections
right there before the break. We were talking about king being a servant. Okay, and so that's true. The king was the defender of the people because other nations would fear attacking you because the reputation of the king. So mm-hmm. David had a very strong reputation. So if he was in a battle, the other army knew it.
Mm-hmm.
King David is here. And that would have certainly swayed a battle emotionally, if nothing else. You know, the other army would have feared his presence there in the battle.
Mm-hmm.
So the king was there to defend the people, to serve the people. And so I think I hope we made that point clear that the king, the reason he's the king is because he's a servant, which really applies to Christ. Who was more a servant
than
Christ?
Well, I think it also applies to, you know, when as father or as husband, you're given authority, but the authority is not for you, but it's for the people that you're supposed to have authority over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I think that kind of plays into, like, so if you're a king, you know, and we all are as baptized Christians, as king, that authority that you've given to Christ, through Christ, through his church, that authority that you've been given isn't for you. But for the people that need it the most,
right? Exactly. And so
I hope
building
I hope
on
you
this,
agree with
building
that.
On this, which is a pun that you're just not privy to yet. Pope Saint John Paul II, in this same writing, he's talking about building the church.
Okay.
And he says fidelity to one's vocation, that is to say, persevering in readiness for kingly service, has a particular significance for these many forms of building. And so what he's saying here is that your vocation, honoring your vocation, is the primary way that we offer service. So, you know, what does service look like for a man? That depends on your vocation.
Mm-hmm.
Right before this, he was just talking about, the married man has a specific vocation and it plays itself out differently than the priest,
mm-hmm.
or than the celibate or the consecrated virgin or the religious. And that those two things need to mirror each other in some way. But that's your service, is honor to your vocation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for both of us as married men, I think we know what that means, primarily honor and love, respect of your wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And I know we've said this before on the show, but I think that is something that needs to be said over and over and over and over and over again. Your vocation is to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And
your vocation is your wife.
Yeah, and then to your children.
Mm-hmm.
That's the order of hierarchy.
Correct.
That you have. And so as king, you must serve her.
Mm-hmm.
And in your service comes back to the chair, the dad chair, I think.
Okay.
Which is why I picked the dad chair.
Okay.
This is one that actually fits together.
Yes.
I know. We
did it. High five.
Because if you are the servant, then you will be honored and you will be respected.
Mm-hmm.
The king, why did everybody respect and honor him so much? I mean, this is plays itself out in a natural way that, well, he's the reason they're all alive, is because he went into battle and protected everybody. There was an army coming to kill them all,
mm-hmm.
and King David rode out and led people and defeated the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't for King David, we'd all be dead. You know, that's what the people are saying. So because of his service, I mean, and that's a pretty obvious service, you put your life on the line
mm-hmm.
to serve the people, they show you this. I mean, that just makes sense. It just kind of plays itself out. And so it works the same way in the home. It's not as dramatic, but it works out the same.
Right.
Because you're the servant, then you receive the honor and dignity, and your kids need you to receive that honor and dignity. Because if you don't have it, then they don't make the correlation to God the Father being honored and dignified.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying.
So get a sweet chair.
Well, and I think, so we've talked a little bit about, you know, exercising the authority of the kingship and then, you know, taking initiative in the kingship. And
yeah.
I think the one we have to talk about beforehand is the defense of the kingship.
Okay.
Meaning, like, if somebody's coming to attack you, what does the king do? He defends. He does whatever he can to make sure that whatever is good for the common is what's taking place.
He doesn't shy away from the difficulty.
The difficulty.
He rides out against it. He faces it head on.
He faces the arduous head on.
Just like, man, I'm getting like chills, you know, thinking about the manliness.
Right. So, I mean, but that is definitely true. Even for a husband and for children, there are times when you're stuck in as a family, maybe you're stuck in a rut. Things are happening where your kids may be nagging you or just, you know, in that age bracket where things are not easy, or you know, you and your wife aren't clicking or aren't on the same page all the time, and there's things that come in and hit you really hard, you know, whatever that is, family members that come in and kind of rub you the wrong way, or your job or health or issues, whatever that is, things that happen. But as the man, you're supposed to take stand and defend them with honor. Because they're who you're supposed to defend. Mm-hmm. You're the king of your family, meaning just like what we were talking about, the service.
Yeah. So
being
a
servant.
So it's not about sitting on a plush pillow.
Right. Well, and obvious, because if you're defending them, that's not the plush pillow. That's not easy. That's not fun. It's not like sitting there and reaping all these benefits. It's taking, like we were talking about earlier, taking the initiative and going out and doing it.
Right. And one other thing I was thinking about, because it said in the catechism, I've got too many notes here to go through it and find it. I was trying to, but I just didn't. But it was talking about freedom. And it occurred to me
that
the king...
I always think of Braveheart.
Yeah, I know. It's tough.
Yeah.
But the king and the king... It occurred to me that the king is the only one who's absolutely free. All the other people live under the rule of the king. And even though the king, like in King David, may be a good king and allow freedom across the land. They're not absolutely free. They can't do absolutely anything they want. They can't go decide to stay in the royal palace if they want to. It's the nicest place in town.
Right.
The king is absolutely free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because of his service that gives him this freedom. It's because he has served more than everyone else. You know, he has done more than everyone else. This is the irony of freedom, that it's only when you subjugate yourself that you become truly free. You know, that
only when you give your freedom up do you actually become free.
Do you gain it? It's just like one of the great ironies of Christianity.
Paradoxes.
You know, you have to die. Yeah, paradox. Thank you. That's actually what I was trying to think of. You have to die to live, you know, mm-hmm. all of these things. So,
if you die before you die, then you won't die when you die.
Right. Put that on a plaque.
Yeah.
Mount it. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting that
is,
you know, it's in your service that you become free.
Ooh, really quick. We don't have much time, but can we talk about the queen?
Yes.
Because, you know, as the king, you should love the queen. And who mm-hmm. is the queen? If we want to make these connections.
Well, in the Old Testament, it's the mother.
It's the mother, which our mother Mary.
Mama.
Right. So, I mean, I think that if you want to excel as being king of your family, you should love thy queen.
Mm-hmm.
Love the mother.
Yeah, love your mom. And that's totally true. I just feel like this, everybody knows this. How can you be a real man if you don't love your mom? I know some people have hard moms to love.
Yeah, I started to say.
Okay, that's, I'm obviously making a general statement here, but like sometimes loving your mom is means other things. You know, it means that you just don't bash her.
Right.
Because maybe she's been tough to love.
And
but
she's cray cray.
But for the most part, you got to do it.
And your heavenly mother is one that you need.
Your mother is your first love.
Mm-hmm.
She's the first person you ever loved in this world.
That's true.
And the first person who loved you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably why.
I think that's...
Except for Jesus, of course.
Well, naturally.
That's the, like, one of the situations, like, well, you know, like, of course, except for Jesus.
Right.
Anyway, speaking of kings...
I think that's a good way to go out.
He's the best king.
He is the best king.
So, get yourself a chair. Respect...
Hurry and grab some Anchor Brewing, the Christmas 2007 edition.
You are a king, my friend.
Thank you to Andrew DeJoseph.
And you're also on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus. Mm-hmm.